I'm Adam Goldstein, the Chief Business Officer for the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. Thank you for tuning in to our inaugural podcast series, The Great Transition from LIBOR to SOFR. As part of our initiative to elevate our educational outreach with our members, we have launched a financial intelligence section on our new website. This is dedicated to sharing our insights with our members through articles, events, and podcast series such as these. The development of the Financial Intelligence Hub was done in partnership with our members to better understand which topics are most valuable to you and to enable us to continue to provide the solutions you need to strengthen your business and serve your customers and communities. This podcast series will be taking a deep dive into the history behind LIBOR and SOFR. The transition will have an impact on all players in the financial services sector, regardless of the institution's size or presence in the capital markets. We hope you find this discussion insightful as you prepare your institution for the challenges that lie ahead. Thank you for participating.
Well, good morning. My name is Tom Citino. I'm with the Member Relations Group at the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York, and I'm here with my colleague, Ray Shinazuka. He's heading up the LIBOR transition effort at the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York, and we're here on our first podcast of a series to kind of outline the transition journey and to give some members insights on what the Federal Home Loan Bank is doing, and then also what they could potentially do to help with the LIBOR transition over to SOFR. So, Ray, it's a pleasure being here with you this morning.
Great being here. Thank you.
So, Ray, I'd like you to outline what the problems and the main issues are with LIBOR, and maybe give us a little history.
Sure. I mean, the problem that we're facing today is that this goes back a few years. In about 2012, people might have read in the newspaper, there was a LIBOR scandal that some of the large banks responsible for setting LIBOR were admitted to manipulating the rates. Sometimes it had to do with earnings. Sometimes it had to do, it was more about signaling their creditworthiness, because this was during the crisis after all. And the big problem is that this rate is used or underlies $200 trillion of U.S. dollar securities, loans, and contracts. So it's a real big deal.
Wow. How did LIBOR get so big?
Yeah, well, LIBOR started off modestly in about 69 about setting a reference rate for floating rate syndicated lending. So instead of having short-term borrowings, you could have a term borrowing, but the rate would reset periodically. And that worked fine for that purpose. A little bit later, around 1981, the swap market, interest rate swap market, was born, actually, and started growing quite exponentially. And it fixed on LIBOR. So it was using the very same LIBOR for derivatives. And the problem was, or the problem, I guess it's a good problem to have, is that that amount of derivatives went from something like $14 trillion in 1998 to 162 by 2008. Wow. So it was a real explosion.
Now, with such enormous exposure of the financial industry to the LIBOR index, what's the solution? How did we arrive where we are today, where we're talking about the SOFR rate? And you could discuss what the SOFR rate is.
Sure. The first solution started in England, because LIBOR is a rate that's set in London. So they started the initial LIBOR reforms in 2012, 13, and 14, and they did actually succeed in reforming some parts of LIBOR, but much of the work that came to the United States was in 2014, and in 2014, the Fed commissioned a group of participants. So these would be regulators. They would be people in the private side. So you'd have swap dealers, you'd have swap investors, and they call that the Alternative Reference Rates Committee, ARRC, or ARC. And they had two objectives. Number one was to find a substitute for U.S. dollar LIBOR, and number two was to encourage voluntary adoption and effectively transition away from LIBOR to the new rate or potentially other alternatives.
So the new rate in the U.S., I referred to it as SOFR earlier, it's Secured Overnight Financing Rate.
That's correct. So they defined that after something like 3 years of they really went through trying to identify what the rates were. They tried treasuries. They tried Fed funds. They went through a variety of possibilities. And they eventually fell upon the SOFR rate. It's a rate somewhat of their own construction. It is based on overnight repo borrowings. So there's a very robust market there. $1 trillion of transactions every day or greater. And they effectively put the rules together, and the New York Fed publishes that on a daily basis.
Let's talk about the transition, some of the milestones we're looking at going forward, and you know what the financial industry should be thinking about.
Yeah, the regulator message is very uniform. They've for the last couple of years, they've been very clear. It's end of 2021. Now, they started talking about this around 2017 or something, so it was about 5 years at that time. Right now, beginning of 2020, it's down to about 2 years. Since that time, the ARC has created a PACE transition plan, of which we have gone through, I think, more than half of it. There has been clearly the definition of SOFR itself. There has been the development of new SOFR products, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And there has been quite a lot of work on how to treat legacy LIBOR products. So that's the other big problem. So it's almost divided into two parts. There's sort of how do you start up this new market, and then how do you deal with the old market?
And we'll expect a lot of evolution going forward. I know it changes every day, so I know it's a moving target, but it's going to be quite interesting in these next couple of years.
The only thing I'll add is it's a moving target, but I think it's a very consistent one. I don't think they're not sort of veering to one direction or the other. I think the vision is very consistent, and the progress they are making has been to move to that target.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ray. I appreciate it. That was our first podcast. The LIBOR transition is a journey, not an event. Stay tuned for podcast number 2, and we'll get a little more into how the Federal Home Loan Bank is leading the charge in the transition from LIBOR over to SOFR. So hope to see you again soon. Thanks a lot, Ray. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tom, for having me.